You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the government introduced their conversion practices prohibition legislation bill. The bill outlines the full legal changes that will be made to penalise those who practice conversion therapy in New Zealand. Conversion therapy is the pseudoscientific practice of trying to change someone's sexual orientation or gender identity. There is no evidence that it is possible to change someone's sexual orientation or gender identity. Therefore, there is no question as to the fact that conversion therapy cannot change a person. There is, however, significant evidence that conversion therapy can cause harm to the individuals who experience this practice. This practice is discredited by the World Health Organization, and the countries Brazil, Ecuador, Germany, and Malta have outright banned it. The US, Canada, Australia, and Spain have regional laws that ban conversion therapy in some areas of the country, and Argentina, Uruguay, Samoa, Fiji, and Noda have indirect bans on the practice. To cover how the government's prohibition bill came to be, I'll run through some of the recent milestones for the ban on conversion therapy in Aotearoa. The Labour Party's 2020 election manifesto included a commitment to banning conversion therapy. But in February this year, the Green Party released a petition at Big Gay Out to pressure the government to put an end to conversion therapy in New Zealand sooner rather than later. A week or so after this, the Labour government announced its plans to ban conversion therapy by early 2022 at the latest. The petition closed with almost 160,000 signatures, and the Greens believe that it was the pressure put on by this petition that caused the government to commit to a short timeline to implement the ban. Justice Minister Chris Fahafoe announced the Conversion Practices Prohibition Legislation Bill on Friday last week at a media stand-up here in Auckland. 95BFM reporter Justin Wong was on the scene to record the stand-up. Here is Chris Fahafoe now.
There can be no justification for trying to force someone to change their sexuality or gender identity. Many in New Zealand's faith-based communities have spoken out against conversion practices, the Salvation Army saying such practices have been widely discredited and that its organisation recognises the emotional, psychological, social and spiritual harms that the practices have caused. The Anglican Diocese across New Zealand and elsewhere in the world have also moved past motions rejecting and condemning gay conversion practices. The UN Rapporteur of Freedom of Religion or Belief, Ahmed Shaheed, recently stated that legislative measures prohibiting individuals and institutions from attempting to change or suppress a person's sexual orientation or a person's gender identity do not violate the right to freedom of religion or belief. He also says someone's ability to believe whatever they wish about sexuality or gender diversity, including whether it requires treatment, is protected by the right to freedom of religion or belief. However, and this is important, it does warn that when such beliefs target the LGBT plus individuals with attempts to change or suppress their sexual orientation or gender identity and inflict harm, that that is not protected by international human rights law. And that is what we are proposing, and that is why this legislation is in step with this view. This bill will not outlaw a person's right to hold personal beliefs about sexual orientation or gender identity. It will not stop parents having conversations with their children or pastors or parishioners who may be wrestling with their sexuality or gender identity. And it will not stop parents or religious leaders from offering support. But the bill does draw a line between supporting someone and going beyond that to intentionally change their sexual orientation or gender identity. The bill creates two new criminal offences where there is heightened risk of harm, and the bill also uses criminal and civil law to prohibit and deter conversion practices. In terms of the criminal provisions, as in the case of conversion practices performed on people under the age of 18 or with impaired decision-making capacity, or where it can be demonstrated that a person has suffered serious harm as a result of those conversion practices, these criminal offences are intended to capture particularly serious cases and to send a clear message that conversion practices are unacceptable. Because criminal proceedings will not always be an appropriate response, the bill also creates a civil pathway for redress using the Human Rights Commission existing complaint system, and this civil pathway will allow for a more constructive and educative process with a focus on remedying harm and preventing it from happening again. Prohibiting conversion practices brings us in line with other countries, such as Germany, the US, and several Australian states, and we understand that the likes of Canada and Britain are also currently considering prohibition. Conversion practices have no place here in New Zealand. They are discriminatory and outdated and cause real serious and life-altering harm to takatāpui and people in their rainbow communities. They infringe on the rights and freedoms guaranteed to those communities, particularly their freedom to express who they are. We made a promise at the last election that we would legislate against such practices, and that is what we are doing with the introduction of the Conversion Practices Prohibition Legislation Bill today. The bill will have its first reading in early August, after which the public can make submissions to a select committee. It is our government's aim to have the legislation passed by early next year. By banning conversion practices in New Zealand, the government intends to enhance the ability of our rainbow communities to enjoy their rights and freedoms, free from harm and discrimination.
To briefly go over what the bill will cover, under the bill, it will be an offence to perform conversion practices on a child or young person under the age of 18 or on someone with impaired decision-making capacity. Such offences would be subject to 3 years imprisonment. It would also be a criminal offence to perform conversion therapy on anyone of any age where the practices have caused serious harm. This offence would be subject to 5 years imprisonment. Civil redress will also be an option for those who make complaints about conversion practices taking place to the Human Rights Commission and the Human Rights Review Tribunal. Also, to reiterate, a conversion practice under the bill means that it is directed towards someone because of their sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression, and is performed with the intention of changing or suppressing their sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. At the stand-up, another journalist asked why the government has gone with serious harm to be the threshold rather than simply harm for the second offence, which deals with how conversion practices being performed on people of any age has affected them.
The bill clearly states what serious harm is, and again, we only want to be dealing in a criminal sense with serious cases. That's why the design of the criminal provisions within this legislation are very clear. It has to be a conversion practice, which is directed at someone because of their sexual orientation or their gender identity. It has to be with the intent of changing them. And that goes against the fundamental human right that everybody has. Again, whether it's for an adult or a minor, you have to prove either harm or serious harm. And the bill clearly states what serious harm is. Then it goes back to what the police usually do, and they have to gather evidence for that. And then again, for something to go to court, the Attorney General of the country has to consent to it, to that going to court. So there's a very high bar for that criminalisation to deal with serious crimes. The purpose of this legislation, though, is not to criminalise people. It is to prevent harm that is already happening in our communities and also make sure that these conversations where people are expressing their sexual orientation and their gender identity can happen in a safe way.
She then goes on to ask why the threshold for a criminal conviction for practicing conversion therapy is so high, considering the evidence that conversion therapy can cause harm generally. Chris Farfoy then goes on to speak about how a civil law pursuit for the lower threshold test can also hold people accountable for practicing conversion therapy.
Because, again, if it's a criminal, if we're talking about the criminal provisions, we only want the serious cases to go down the criminal route. There is a civil liability. We're banning conversion practices and also saying if there's a complaint or serious harm isn't proven, then you are able to go to the Human Rights Commission to be able to get seek remedy there. People will also have the ability to get legal aid, which is available to them now. I think once we've got this legislation passed, one of the conversations that we have to have with the rainbow community is what do we do to assess and to make sure that these kinds of safe conversations around sexual orientation and gender identity are happening. There are some within our community, so we'll have to be educated a little bit more about what is safe. But I think that mostly people in faith communities and people in families understand these situations. It is the extreme harm that we're trying to make sure we deal with in a criminal sense, but also giving a clear message that these conversion practices don't work and cause serious harm, and giving a criminal and civil route for those for instances where they may happen.
The bill will have its first reading in Parliament in early August and will then go to the Justice Select Committee for public submissions. The government expects the bill to be passed into law by the beginning of next year. If you are interested in reading about the Conversion Practices Prohibition Legislation Bill, head to the government's legislation website. Big thank you to Justin Wong for heading down to that stand-up last week. It's really good to get our journalists out there and being like big old professional journalists. It's very exciting.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.